Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we gather today, once again, we are a small group here in the sanctuary. But Father, we know we are joined by others throughout the congregation, those listening to us on radio, those who are participating with Facebook Live, those who will hear the podcast later. And Father, while we are apart, we take great comfort in knowing that you have promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. You're with us always. There is nothing for us to fear. On this Palm Sunday that is quite different from others we have observed, remind us of your presence and of your power and of your promises. We do pray that the words of my mouth, together with meditation of our hearts, would be acceptable in your sight. O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Palm Sunday. It sure looks like Jesus is at the very pinnacle of power and glory. His triumphant entry into Jerusalem, the shouting of the crowds that hail him as king. He's riding a wave of popularity as a healer for having raised Lazarus from the dead. And all of this gives him the kind of prestige that would make even a narcissist blush. Even his critics, they bemoan. And you just heard the words, "Look, the world has gone after him." The message says the world is on a stampede after him. And the dictionary says that means that the people are in a frenzied rush to get to him, not letting anything get in their way, and if it does, running over it, trampling it down. Yes, his critics were despairing, but was it also jealousy? Or maybe the question really is this one, is it also jealousy? Something that we would want for ourselves, to be so prized above all people and in pride to lust for power. That's what coveting is. Seeking that which is not ours to possess. Seeking the very thing, sometimes the very people that belong to others. It is a sin of the heart and mind that may even remain hidden by the masks that we wear. This is why the commandments against coveting, number 9 and number 10, do not let any of us off the hook. Exodus 20:17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. But Jesus did not covet power and glory. He had them already before he was born. But, as Janice read Paul's words a few minutes ago, Jesus, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself. The one whose name is above all names, the one at whose name every knee shall bow, the one who one day every tongue will confess, saying Jesus Christ is Lord, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. How far indeed Jesus would empty himself, even unto death. He was not anointed a Messiah of great power, but anointed only as one about to die when Mary opened that pint jar of nard and poured it onto his feet. And the crown he wore was a crown of thorns. The purple robe that was draped around his shoulders was only meant to mock him. And the crowds that once shouted, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," those same voices would shout only 5 days later, "Crucify him, crucify him." There is no glory or power in these wounds that Jesus bore. There is only a man beaten and deprived of all that make one look like they were weak in the eyes of the world, when weakness really comes from giving in to covetousness, of which you and I are guilty, and for which Jesus suffered and died, and by whose wounds we are healed. Now, Palm Sunday, somewhere along the line, made the transition to Passion Sunday. It's a liturgical transition that I have never really liked. But this year, I have begun to see an appreciation for what it does. As a matter of fact, if you'll turn to the words of the psalm that will conclude this morning's service, you'll see this written there. In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. Now skip down a line. In this broken generation, when all is dark, you help us see there is only one salvation. Ours truly is a time of desperation. This is a broken generation when all around us is doubt and fear. It's a dark time. And next Sunday, for Easter, we'll sing these words. This Easter celebration is not like ones we've known. We pray in isolation. We sing hymns alone. We're distant from our neighbors. And it continues, O God of love and promise, where's joy this Easter day? Now we'll wait a week to sing it, but we don't have to wait a week to wonder. We don't have to wait a week to ask, where's the joy? For joy is one of the things that the coronavirus has taken from us. It has taken interaction away from us. It has taken income away. It has taken, for some, their health, for others, a loved one. And you've seen all the numbers. 1.1 million COVID-19 cases worldwide. Not quite 300,000 here in the United States. One a third of those are in New York State alone. And many of you have asked. You've asked about our son and his family. Are they safe? They do take comfort in knowing that in their Brooklyn zip code, there are only 178 cases of the virus. And I thank you for your concern and for lifting them up in your prayers. We read of 7,100 U.S. deaths, with projections of some models telling us it could reach nearly 250,000. Leavenworth County now has 33 cases and has had one death. The coronavirus has taken much from us and has left fear to fill the void. The song you'll sing in a little while also says this. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised. In the here and now, let love invade. Let the church live loud. Our God will say, we believe, we believe. And the gates of hell will not prevail. For the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know your love will never fail. As Jesus entered Jerusalem, he knew it wasn't just for a victory parade. It wasn't so he could be crowned King of the Jews. It wasn't for power or prestige. He never wanted that. He never coveted that. What he wanted then and what he wants now is for you to be certain that he has it all under control. He is your protector and defender. He truly is your king. He does not want you to be afraid of anything headed your way. It's why it's included in the Palm Sunday story that Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, we're told. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered. Remember it now. Fear not. Your king is coming. Of all the things that you might be tempted not to covet, but to desire, may that be foremost. That you not be afraid of what is yet to come, because from the midst of it all, your king is coming. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds focused upon Christ Jesus until life eternal. Amen. Again, this is the point in the service where normally